Friday afternoon, the Audible is on the air. I'm Kim Bocamper. Joining me from the Palm Beach Post, Jason Legion. Jason, your second time on the show, man.
I can't believe I got invited back.
Return visit back, huh?
Odds were against it. I did not think I was going to get the invite.
That's a good thing or a bad thing.
I'm surprised either way. I did not think I would be invited back.
All right, here we are. Another big game coming up. Third primetime game for the Miami Dolphins. 0-2, although, I don't know, I'd like to get your opinion, your thoughts on the last game against the Oakland Raiders. I think you saw some consistency offense. You saw the defense do some good things. Special teams played pretty well, albeit the fact that I think they gave that game up due to some very, very untimely penalties that just kind of crippled this football team. Self-inflicted wounds. But does that make you feel a little bit more optimistic about their chances coming up this Monday night in Carolina?
I'm certainly more optimistic about the offense, yep, Bo, than I was before. And really, if you look at the last three games that Jay Cutler has played, it's the second half comeback against Atlanta. Mm-hmm. He was playing very well against the Jets before he was hurt. And then really his best game as a Dolphin, yep, against the Raiders. So very, very good overall, good direction for the offense. As you mentioned, I think it was 11 penalties for 107, yeah, yards or something like that. And that's not even a total price tag on the damage,
well, yeah,
when you take into account plays gains that were negated.
Yeah, you take the yards out of the plays.
It may have been closer to 200 yards, yeah, in total lost yardage because of those penalties. And that's going to cripple,
yeah,
you.
The other thing was, you know, you took away key first downs. You get a big first down,
exactly, yeah,
try
plays,
to keep momentum, right, going. You get it taken back, and first and 20, second and 15, whatever the different situations you found yourself in. And, you know, it's hard enough in this league. I always said, look, it's hard enough to beat the team that you're playing against if you got to beat yourself first before you can yeah, get to those guys. And that was kind of one of those things. But you look at this cast of characters coming up, Cam Newton, James Stewart, Christian, yeah, – McCaffrey, who's playing so-so as a rookie, Devin Funchess. They get Curtis Samuel, their wide receiver, coming back, looks like, this week. Then you get to the other side, and you're looking at Julius Peppers, Paul Posluszny, Thomas Davis. I mean, this is a very, very good football team. It's 6-2 right now, playing in their home backyard. And this is a team that certainly has playoff and Super Bowl aspirations, having been there just a couple years ago. So this may be the most monumental task that the Dolphins have faced so far this year.
Yeah, two giant problems. One is Cam Newton. The Dolphins, mm-hmm, have had trouble against running quarterbacks, and he is his own kind of running quarterback. He is – you, yep, can't put him in any category. He's – such a bruising runner. He's, yep, going to be such a problem for them in that regard. And then their defensive line is just outstanding. Carolina's, yep, number two in the league in run defense, number two in sacks. Julius Peppers, how old is Julius Peppers?
I don't know, but
he's still killing it.
Keeps going, man.
And then you take that defensive line that Carolina has, and it's going against a Dolphins offensive line that you, yep, have a lot of questions about right now, particularly with Juwan James,
yep,
almost certainly not going to play.
And it looks like Ted Larson stepping in at that left guard position. That means I'm assuming that Jesse Davis goes to that right tackle position and gets a start out there. That would be my assumption.
I think that's
just based on,
yeah,
the fact that he's played more than Sam has here so far this season. He's kind of acclimated himself to it. But you look at that. I think Ted Larson coming back, we're assuming is going to be a plus for this football team. But to me, the big plus coming back is TJ McDonald,
oh, yeah,
in that secondary. You know, really that safety opposite of Rashad Jones, really haven't heard much out of him, really haven't gotten much action. You know, guys have been out there, but really haven't gotten an impact out of the opposite safety of Rashad, and I think that's about to change on Monday night.
There's a big difference between TJ McDonald's situation and Ted Larson's. Ted Larson's, yep, coming off a very bad injury, a torn biceps. He's had to work his way back, hasn't been able to do a lot of things on the field or in the weight room, things like that. TJ McDonald, on the other hand, with, yep, the suspension, there's been nothing physically wrong with him.
Yep.
He's been in meetings. He's been training with the strength and conditioning, yep, staff. As opposed to Ted Larson needing some time to get into it, TJ McDonald should be good to go right away.
Yeah, I assume that they're going to put him in there and see just what he can do. And I expect him to play a full game, and I expect him to be good. I mean, look, you don't have a guy that's facing an 8-game suspension. You give an extension on his contract if you don't expect him to come back after those 8 weeks and make an impact on this football team.
$24 million before they've, yep, ever seen him take a snap. He's known as such a big hitter.
Yep.
When you think back to when you played just – vicious,
yep,
hard-hitting safeties. Who comes to mind for you?
Well, for me, it's George Atkinson and Jack Tatum from the Oakland Raiders. Probably two of the biggest. Ronnie Lott. You look at Ronnie Lott is back there. Kenny Easley, another guy back there. I tell you, the Dolphins with the two Blackwood brothers had some guys that would, you know, little guys that would lay some wood. Also, when you go back to who was a kid from Florida, Louis
Oliver.
Louis Oliver.
Yeah.
About 6'3", 245. back there playing safety. It was a different thing. So, but anyway, yeah, I think getting T.J. McDonald back really helps his defense, a defense that really has played pretty well, other than the fact that a lot of times they're out in the field too long and don't get they get so many plays thrown against them that every now and then something's going to break free on you.
You usually are seeing that in the second half. You're usually seeing that third quarter, fourth quarter, the fatigue starts to affect them.
Hey, a Facebook question from Mallory Fleur. Carl, how severe is Damian Williams? So Damian Williams and Jakeem Grant have both missed practice with an illness. I don't know what the illness is. You don't know. I'm assuming you don't know what the illness is. Although they did say that that they had him quarantined to keep away from the place. So I can assume it's a flu or something like that, a viral kind of a thing that's going on.
I talked to Jakeem Grant. He said he did practice.
Yeah, I saw him. Yes.
Through the illness. Damian Williams has not practiced yet this week. Jakeem said he thinks he might have eaten something bad, and then he didn't feel too good out there running around in the heat of it. It was 85 out there today. But Adam Gase was joking that he would love to bring those two guys and let them hang around in the media workroom. That he doesn't want them around the rest of the players because he wants the illness to spread.
Media,
but he'd be happy to bring them to the media workroom
Better yet, let's ship them up to Carolina and let them wander around that locker room a little bit if they could get through there.
I feel like that'd be a violation.
Yeah, I don't think that would work out so well. Let's kind of talk about that running back situation. You know, and you look at either one of those guys. You look at Damian Williams, look at Kenyon Drake, and as a standalone, neither one of them really put up great numbers. But I think when you look at the position and you look at the total yards from scrimmage, I believe it was 160, 180, something like that.
It's 185, right around there. Total yards from scrimmage for the two guys
from your tailback. Yes. And look, if you're going to get 150 plus yards out of your running back, whether it's by running or catching passes, I think you have to feel pretty good about that.
I think that they do feel good about that, and they feel better about it going forward. I think this is that was only week one of kind of trying this out. And I think this style with pass-catching running backs and faster running backs as opposed to the more burly running back, J.H.I., this is more Adam Gase's style. This is more the kind of guys he's had before with Anderson and Forte and the kind of dual-threat running backs that he's used to having. I think he adjusted based on what Jay Ajayi was doing when he was doing it at a really high level. But if Jay Ajayi wasn't going to continue doing that at a high level, then it was good for Gase to go to some guys that are more weapons that he's comfortable using.
And I think you said it right. I think that was the first time out for those guys. It was first time out for the offensive staff to get them working in there. I think they're going to be more comfortable moving forward. I think the coaching staff is going to be more comfortable knowing what they can do best, taking advantage of what they do best. I mean, you put Damian Williams out there on a linebacker in a one-on-one situation. That's a tough matchup for anybody. And look, and Kenyon can catch the ball as well. But, you know, that speed that he's got, we saw it the one time when he broke three for the yards. I mean, how quick he can get into that third level and really make something happen. So it's going to be interesting to see what they're able to do this year. Talking about this Monday and continuing forward.
When you see them catch 12 passes total, six each, that's the running game now. The running game is going to be replaced in some part by these short passes.
Yeah, I don't think from that position. You don't care how they get the yards. They just need to get the yards. They need to accumulate yards. They need to move the chains. They need to keep this offense moving. And that to me has been the biggest problem with this offense is just, you know, you ask Adam, you know, you ask Coach Gase, you go, hey, well, you know, what do you guys need to do to get this offense more consistent? We need to get first downs. And and they have been you've been woefully challenged through the course of the year getting first down. So, you know, maybe with two of these guys coming in with that dual ability to catch the ball and run the football, maybe you can help them have some consistency doing that.
Speaking of the running game, the running backs, the Damian Williams touchdown, I believe it was the second quarter.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
You know, that's
– spun off two hits.
First of all, it's an effort touchdown, and it's a smart touchdown. You know, at one point he was about – 3 or 4 inches from going out of bounds side, and a lot of backs would just kept on going, put the brakes on. I think he came back, you know, got in there, and you know, you call it whatever you want, but you know, when you saw Jarvis, you know, getting in the way, blocking for that, and allowing to get in, and then you saw Jarvis in a play down the field later on blocking it. You know, anything you can do as a wide receiver, just get in the way, you know, is considered.
That's what he did,
and that's what he did. And he may got run over a little bit, but you know what, he you know, it doesn't allow the guy to make the tackle.
No, absolutely.
You know, allows him to get in the end zone.
I mean,
so
he paid the price for it, though. It was a very, very selfless move on that block.
Yeah, but I think when you know, there people look at Jarvis in different ways, you know, and I think everybody agrees that Jarvis is an impact player. Anytime he steps on the field, he's always a guy that gives you every effort that he's got, every ounce of effort that he's got in his body, and he'll block and he'll do the dirty things. You know, you like to see him be a little more consistent with the quarterback knowing where he's going to be. and where to get him the football. But I think other than that, you really can't ask much more out of Jarvis and the way he goes out. Look, and Kenny Stills the same way down there. Didn't get a lot of catches, but he did some good things blocking in the football game too. So, let me see where we go. Okay, here's one I want to go to. Periscope, Aussie Finn fan. With James out, how confident are in the offensive line holding up? I don't know. You know, Juwan's, I think, if you listen to Adam Gase this week, he's played three good games this year. Struggled in the five other games that they've played.
Yeah, it wasn't a ringing endorsement.
No. Jesse Davis, if you're going to move him over to that right tackle position, a position he's played, he's bounced to back, bounced. He's bounced around side to side, position to position on that offensive line. We'll see. He's going to get a test. Julius Peppers is going to be over there, and you bet he sees a guy in there that hasn't been playing there for a long time. He's certainly going to give him his best effort, and we'll find out a lot about Jesse Davis probably pretty early on in that football game.
Yeah. What else we got here?
Let's go to nice shirt,
one,
Bo.
I didn't have anything to add.
Nice shirt, Bo.
Somebody wrote in, nice shirt, Bo?
Yeah, I always get fashion.
Good shirt, good.
It's a fashion trend on this show. William Herndon Jr. from Facebook. What happened to our defense last week? I think the defense, where the defense broke down last week, particularly in the first half, was very simple on third down. They had them in third and long. It seemed like every series started in third and long, and they seemed to convert every time they were in third and long. Mm-hmm. The tight end, Cook, he just killed him. Early in the first half, he well over 100 yards in the first half. They had no answer to him. He hurt, and a lot of those big catches that he made were in third down situations.
My concern about the defense, Bo, is, and maybe talk me out of this if you think I'm wrong, but why is that defensive line not more effective? They never get any sacks. Miami's like bottom four in the league in sacks. They got, I think, one on Carl last week.
Yeah. You know what I see is what I see, especially in the first half with this defensive line. They tend to push the pocket back. In other words, and they're not disengaging from their blockers, but they're pushing the pocket back, making it tight around the quarterback. But unless you disengage and get a hand on them, most of these NFL quarterbacks, and you saw Derek Carr do it last week, just stand in the pocket, get the ball out there, because even if as long as your offensive lineman is between you and that defensive end or defensive tackle, you can stand back there all day. And I think that's pretty much what he did. But I think they've got to go from pushing the pocket to getting free and coming around like we've seen him do in the past. I think that to me is just a different style of going. You can't bull rush. One thing, you can't bull rush in this league every down and expect to get sacks.
Yeah.
Facebook, Brian D.P. Parker. Do you think the defense will be even greater this week with T.J.? Well, we touched on that a little bit. T.J. McDonald teaming up with Jarvis or with Rashad Jones back there, pretty formidable couple. Now, one thing you talk about T.J., not really known as the greatest cover guy from the safety position, but certainly a guy that's going to make people question what they're going to do when they come across the middle of the field.
Rashad's kind of the same player.
Yes,
He has a similar book on him, so it's going to be interesting to see if those guys – can develop or can play together in coverage. And Bo, it's not just this week. This is like a 4 or 5 year commitment with these guys. They've put $84 million into these two guys for I believe the next four seasons after this one. So they not only need to be right in the short term, but they need to be right about these guys individually and as a combination long term.
Well, I think you look long term with Rashad. You look at TJ. You look at Xavier on one side, who certainly looks like he's going to be a standout guy for a long time to come. And then on the other side, Tankersley on the other side, the more he's playing, the more comfortable he gets, I think the better he gets. And I think you're looking at the secondary of the future here for this football team, from Tank on one side to X on the other side with those two guys in the middle. Could be for them. I say in the long term, I guess nowadays in the long term is 3 or 4 years
in the
NFL, right? Because, with contracts and free agency, you never know how long these guys are going to stay together. But I think certainly with the youth that you have out there and the veteran experience inside, I think those guys inside are going to help the guys outside just from a communication standpoint and a help standpoint, and going to help them be better players out there also. Hey, Bo, would you get extra excited when playing on a Monday night? Yeah, I think, back in my day, we didn't have Thursday night games. We didn't have Sunday night games. Mm-hmm. So really your only national primetime exposure was on Monday night games until you got into the postseason. And they were booked. Look, I remember my first Monday night football game I walked into the lobby of the team hotel the night before the game, and Howard Cosell's standing there, right?
Oh yeah.
So I walk by. So I walk. Yeah. Well, you know, it's Howard Cosell. Right. Back at the time, Howard Cosell was the man, right?
Yeah.
So I walked up and I said, "Mr. Cosell," he goes, "Kimbo Camper, number 88, San Jose State," and he like ran through a whole bio, and I'm just sitting there going, "Wow, that's pretty freaking cool,"
that
you know?
Good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So that was pretty exciting. But you know what? I just remember, you know, that was when Monday night was at its peak. You know, it was every bar that had a TV was packed on Monday night. Everybody went out for Monday night games. Everybody watched Monday night games, and it was Howard Cosell, and it was Frank Gifford, and it was Don Meredith. That, to me, was when Monday Night Football was at its pinnacle with those guys.
It's been replaced by Sunday Night Football as the marquee game every week. You know, one thing I always wonder about those Monday Night games is it strange as a player? Because normally you play 1 o'clock on Sunday, so you wake up, you have a meeting or something, and you go over to the stadium in the morning.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's difficult.
Tough
it's, yeah, it is. It is.
Until 5 o'clock or whenever you drive
You know what? We I remember when we used to play, we used to stay in Miami Lakes. Not far from where our training facility down in Miami. And on Monday night games, we usually go to a movie. We'd get up, have breakfast.
Oh, during the day. Okay,
and maybe have a little meeting, you know, at you know, 11 o'clock or whatever. And then we'd go and go sit and watch a movie. Sit and watch a movie and then come out. Because you have to fill some time. And it's nervous time, you know. And you're just sitting in your room, you know, just thinking about it, you tend to get more nervous. So we tried to kind of get out, and we'd go somewhere else for lunch or do something and do that. But, you know, once you start driving to the stadium, then you start getting that whole thing going. So it's hard. To me, it's more difficult being on the road when you're sitting in a hotel and you're sitting in a hotel room and sitting and sitting and sitting and sitting and waiting. Because usually we used to have pregame meal 4 hours before kickoff. So you're waiting until they started at 9 back then. So you're waiting until 5 o'clock for your pregame meal. Yeah, it was a long day. It was tough to get used to. Jay Cutler, Enrique Perez, can Cutler potentially take us to the playoffs realistically? I've been answering most questions, so I'm gonna toss that one to you. Although you did talk about Cutler a little bit early on.
Yeah, I think Cutler's played well. I think his rating the last three games that he's played in is like 105 or something like that. And obviously, that's not a definitive statement on how someone's playing, but it does give you just an overview, basically. He's looked really good. He set a career high for completion percentage last week. The ribs don't seem to be affecting him at all. If you didn't know he was hurt and you just watched him practice and play, he looks like himself. As far as the playoffs are concerned, you got three really good teams in the AFC, and then there are three other playoff spots that are pretty up for grabs, in my opinion. If I remember right, there are about 10 teams that are between 3 and 5 and 5 and 3, including the Dolphins. So the teams that are the healthiest or the luckiest or the teams that can at least win their home games are going to be there at the end. And it could be a year where 9 and 7 gets you in. You may not have to get to 10 and 6
thing I'm looking at. I think this year may be one of those years where a team with nine wins gets in as one of the wild cards, probably the last wild card out of the AFC because it's so bunched up in the AFC.
Yeah.
So if you're going by that criteria, the Dolphins have 8 games left to win 5. They got to scratch 5
to have
wins
a chance
out of these next eight games in order to have a chance.
Yeah.
You got to play New England twice, you got to play Buffalo twice, and you've got the Carolina Panthers coming up on Monday
City
night
at the end.
And Kansas City. So, if they get there with 9 wins and they get 9 wins, they're going to deserve going to the playoffs after going through that second half schedule like they have and all the things they went through at the front end of their schedule.
Sure,
all the
travel and the hurricane
and everything else.
Injuries, you lose your starting quarterback.
Everything came along with it, that whole thing.
I looked into this earlier the last 10 years. I don't think any team has made it at 8-8 unless they've won unless they've won their division, which is kind of a loophole.
Well, there was somebody in the NFC, didn't they, a few years back that got in it with some dramatically.
Someone got in at 7-9, I think, because they won their division. Though.
Right.
If you're in a really bad division that can happen, but that's not going to happen with New England in your division.
Yep.
9-7 got in, I want to say it was 5 or 6 times over the last decade. So that is possible.
Well, and then you go to the flip side. The last time, not last year, the prior time that the Dolphins went to the playoffs, they were 11-5, went to the playoffs in. New England was 11-5. They didn't get to go to the playoffs.
Yeah,
so 11 win season.
It'd be 9-7, and it's good enough for 11-5, and it's not good enough.
Yeah, it just depends on the year. It depends on how the conference that you're playing is playing, and how many teams get to that level. Alan Sandoval from Facebook: how many deep throws can we expect from Cutler this week after a confidence booster last week? Well, last week it was pretty clear that the Raiders weren't going to give. Look, they were down 3 cornerbacks in that game. And on the other side, they had Sean Smith, who really has become kind of a pedestrian cornerback in the National Football League now. And I think I like everyone else, expected them to attack deep downfield in that game. I think you have to give the credit to the Oakland Raiders defense. They played a two-deep zone, forced you to throw the ball underneath, and you were able to get success throwing the ball underneath. But that means continuing to make first downs, continue not to make mistakes, and moving the ball down the field. And the Dolphins weren't able to do that, as opposed to the Raiders, who did go over the top and had success going over the top with Derek Carr and his receivers.
Adam Gase said this week that don't be confused about this. He is calling for deep shots.
Yep.
They're just not materializing for one reason or another. Either Jay Cutler's not seeing them,
yep,
he's seeing something else that looks better at the time, or the coverage, like you said, with Oakland.
Or protection breaks down.
Yeah, or there's not time.
Yep.
You need time for those plays to develop.
Yep.
You can't just fire it out there in 1.5 seconds,
yep,
and get a 40-yard pass out of that.
Yeah, I think we're all a little perplexed by, because I don't know about you, Jason, but coming out of the preseason, I thought this team was going to be an air it out, bombs away,
yeah,
because that's what we saw during the preseason. You saw a lot of that.
Devontae Parker down the sideline.
And then we saw Jakeem Grant went through two or three games where he was catching big passes down there. So you kind of thought that's what this offense was going to be, and quite to the contrary, we haven't seen very much of that.
When it comes down to it and the offensive line is not giving them time,
yep,
they're not throwing those deep balls. They're throwing to Jarvis,
yep,
Landry. That's the guy those guys always trust in an emergency.
Yep.
And whether you have Ryan Tannehill over the last 2 years, Tannehill,
yep,
Moore, or Cutler, there's been a lot of emergency situations,
yep,
there in the pocket.
By the way, Carolina Panthers 2015 made it to the playoffs with a 7-8-1 record.
I'm sure that they won their division.
Yeah, exactly. Here's another one I'm going to give to you. Hey, Bo, do you think we'll see Julius Thomas play as well again, or was that just a one-off game for Julius Thomas? Has been a guy that's been a bit of a disappointment, I'd say, coming in. You know, I think you expected more of him, especially in the red zone. Played well last week. And, you know, do you relate that to the fact that they were playing that two-deep zone and he caught a lot of balls underneath, or – was it that he's starting to get a little more comfortable with his offense and Jay Cutler's a little more comfortable with him? This week's game may tell a story on that one.
My opinion, probably more than anything, like you said, the coverage,
kind, yep,
of opening things up underneath. Julius Thomas, he's a really nice guy. I don't know how much,
yep,
you've gotten to talk to him, but a great
yep
guy. But on the field, he just hasn't done enough to convince me that he would continue playing like he did Sunday.
Yep.
He's got to show us that first.
Yeah, that's the thing that concerns me, just the lack of consistency in numbers. I just expect him to be a bigger part of the offense down the middle of the field. And there are some times where it just doesn't seem like he's out there much. For a little while, you kind of like, you know, you're looking at some of the other tight ends, and you know, why don't you throw those guys the ball a little bit more and see what they can do. This from a Facebook guy. Oh, hey, Bo, did you check out Deion Jordan last night? He recorded a sack. I'm not a big Deion Jordan fan.
You don't say.
Yeah, no.
I feel like you've mentioned this.
Yeah, not in the least bit. So I really could care less. My deal with him is, look, I'm not gonna base anything on one game. He got to show me that he can do it the long term.
I think that's gonna sting for Dolphin fans,
yeah,
if he turns out to be good.
I just don't see it.
I'm sure they didn't love last night.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be ugly if he does, yep, turn out to be good. I will say on that point, and I have no allegiance or loyalty to,
right,
anybody here. I don't work with the team.
Yeah.
From what I saw last year, they gave him
every shot,
possible chance,
yeah,
to turn things around. They took this guy on the road, every road,
yep,
trip. They activated him off whatever it was, non-football injury,
yep,
list, and let him practice for 3 weeks. He never got to
him,
a point.
And they paid him.
And they kept him on the payroll.
Yep.
They gave this coaching staff and management team, which is not the people that drafted him, gave him every chance to do this in,
yep,
Miami. So you really, I don't think you can pin it on them if Deion Jordan does turn out to be good. But good for Deion Jordan if,
yeah,
he can turn things around.
I watched a piece they did on Deion Jordan on one of the NFL Network or somebody, you know, about how he's turned things around and they got him with a trainer and he's actually working out. Because when he got there, he was out of shape, like he was when he was here, out of,
mm-hmm,
shape,
mm-hmm,
didn't seem to care. And so, oh, it's a great story now. He's turned it around. Well, we'll see in the long term, because – from what I saw out of him during the course of his time here, was a guy that didn't care about playing and just happy to be making money and just, you know, I just keep looking at the third pick in the draft. I just keep looking at him, and I keep looking at Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
You know, and what a third pick in the draft should be and how they should carry themselves and how they should play.
Maybe he's changed, man. I mean, and he's 27 years old now, so 27 is a pretty good age where you've kind of grown up a little bit, but you're still young enough football-wise that you can be in the prime of your career. Maybe this is a good start for him.
Maybe he caught it in time, because there's a lot of guys I've seen that have gone through a very similar type of career or lack of it in their first number of years and then just fade away. And you know, maybe he found that that light out there that kind of, you know, went on for him, and he turned it around. So, but we'll see. But look, I'm glad they have him, and we don't have him. How about that? Another Facebook. What are some good and bad matchups Monday night? What are some good and bad matchups?
What's a matchup for the Dolphins that you like?
Matchup that I like. Well, I kind of like their offensive line against them. I think that one of the Khalil guys. It's not Ryan. It's their center's out. So I would look at maybe look at the defensive tackles a little bit. I would maybe look at Sue. You know, Sue, I still think Sue's got a little – I think he's still banged up from that game the other night. He's got to get – so I look there. I want to see T.J. – I just want to see T.J. McDonald play. And I want to see him help against a running game even more so to play better than they've played this year. And I think they played pretty well against a running game for the most part all season long. I think that's it. That's about it.
I like Parker and Stills. I think that the Dolphins are going to try as hard as they can to try to do that. But it's really going to come down to, more than anything else, whether or not they get time.
Yeah. All right. J.R. Shelton, can we expect our running backs to be as productive as they were in the Raiders game? I don't see any reason why not. I really don't. Look, I like both of those guys. I like the efforts they give. They're certainly working. They've been working with Kenyon on pass protection. In those types of situations, Damian Williams, although he doesn't do anything spectacular, he always seems to make a play that helps you win football games more times than not. And so I'm happy about that. And I just think as the season goes on and they get more comfortable and get the feel for playing in this league, I think we're going to see some pretty good stuff out of those guys.
We should circle back, too, on Damian Williams with the illness.
Yeah.
Adam Gase said today he has no doubt whatsoever that Williams will play Monday night. But it may be the case that he doesn't practice all week.
Right, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. And you know, you have one of those things.
I just didn't want to leave it ambiguous to the people.
Whether it's flu or whether it's not flu,
he's got all the way to home.
Guys are sick. Guys that are sick play.
Yeah.
You know, they may throw up on the field and they may do this and that, but they're going to play. Can we handle McCaffrey Monday night? I tell you, he was one of my favorite guys coming out of college.
Yeah.
Can do it all. And he's done pretty well from a receiving standpoint. So-so running the football. Kick returns, you know, not so much. So, but I think he's going to take – I have to tell you, I'm just happy that he's in Carolina, because I was so concerned that he was going to go to the New England Patriots. And Bill Belichick is going to use that guy to just to torment people for the next – next 15
torment
years
this
with
team
him
twice a year.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, let me run through the injury report real quick.
I haven't seen this yet, Bo. So you're breaking news right here.
Just got it right off the press. Jay Cutler practiced full. Jakeem Grant limited, so he's sick, but he came out and practiced. William Hayes, Mike Hull full. Juwan James didn't practice, and there's some concern out there that we may have seen the last of Juwan James this season with injury. They're calling it a groin. Some people are calling it a hamstring. But he wasn't full speed out there. Ted Larson full, Bobby McCain full, Mike Pouncey full, and Dominican Sue. Mike Pouncey's another guy. He's practiced a couple times this week, and normally he's on a one day work week schedule.
I believe he's going to a more everyday schedule now in the second half of the season, now that the first half went well and he was healthy through that.
Michael Thomas, Damian Williams, both did not practice in this game. I would expect both of them to play. As far as – I'm just going to go for Carolina. Ryan Khalil talked about him, the center. He's got a neck problem. He didn't practice. I don't think he's expected to play. Everyone else was full participation for the Carolina Panthers. So, for the most part, they're a healthy football team. And for the most part, the Dolphins are a pretty healthy football team at this point in the season. So, we'll see how it goes. True struggles, no high school football today. No, we're done with high school football unless maybe one of these weeks we'll do a playoff game. I'm not sure. But as far as the regular season is over down here in South Florida, so we'll wait to see if we do any playoff games as we move forward. That's going to do it for today, Jason. Thanks a lot, my man.
Am I going to be back for a third time, you think, or no? How did this go?
Let me get the staff.
Is this good for you?
Okay. Perfect. Fine for me.
I got an okay staff back there. All right.
Leon's giving you the this or that, but we don't pay attention to Leon anyway. So,
I'm happy with an okay.
It doesn't matter. All right. That's going to do it for the program today. I think we're going to be back. We're going to be back Sunday. Right?
Ooh.
We'll do a Sunday edition of the Audible at 6 o'clock? 6 o'clock in Carolina. So I think it'll be me and Joe Rose in Carolina on Sunday. So tune in for us then. Until then, have a good couple days, and we'll see you then.